Well, let me read our key verse tonight, then I'll release the band. Proverbs 24:16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Everyone say, rise again. But the wicked stumble when trouble strikes. Father, I just thank you right here that, Lord, as we lean into the Word of God, I thank you for your presence already here, Holy Spirit. I thank you for the atmosphere to hear the heart of God. And I pray as we unpack your Word tonight that people wouldn't just hear my voice, Lord. They would hear your voice, and your Word would not return void. It would pierce hearts tonight. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We fix our eyes on you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Can we give the band a hand? Thank you so much, team. Thank you, Nicholas Hickman. Love you, mate. Such a good team. Well, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. We're going to get into the Word of God. And if you didn't know about me, when I was a child, I had a dream. I feel like Martin Luther King, I had a dream. It didn't come to pass, but I had a dream. And that dream was to be an Olympic gold medal runner. I wanted to get a gold medal, and that was my dream. And so at the age of like 7 or 8, my mum's here tonight, you can ask it, I'm not lying. I said to her, Mum, I need a coach. And I was such a driven young man. And I said, Mum, I need a coach to get me to the Olympics. Now, first of all, who does that when they're like 7 or 8? Like, there is something wrong with me, I know. But anyway, I was very passionate and driven about becoming an Olympic gold medalist. And I think there's a photo. This is always a crowd favorite. This was me. Look at that. Look at the determination in that face. Like, I've got veins popping out and everything, people. And so this was me, and I had a dream. And so I would regularly, I think there's another photo as well. We might as well look at it. Oh, yeah. Look at him go. Look at him go. And so, I didn't win. My dreams got shattered. But that's not the point of this analogy. I cry every night. But so I went to this place, and it was a coach, and this coach had actually worked with Olympians before. I was in the right place. And I was like 9 or 10 years old, and we would go training with all kinds of ages. And so there's like 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 21-year-olds. It was a big training group. And as young boys do, I remember a girl caught my eye, and she was a lot older than me. So I was like 10 or 11, and not in a weird way, but I was like, oh, she's really pretty. Like, she's cool. And I got all shy and embarrassed around her. And I remember this one day, we were going for a training run, and we were all running together as a big group, and I kind of like really wanted just to say hi to this person. And so, block your ears, Ebony, it's okay. And I just really wanted to get up the courage to say hi. And so we were running as a group in the streets, like just around Canberra where I grew up. And anyway, the long story short is I finally built up the courage. And I come to the cool pack, okay? Like, I was not in the cool pack. I ran up against the cool pack. And I finally had the courage to say hi to her. And as I'm running, okay, you got to picture this. I'm running, and I look over to her, and I introduce myself. I say hi. And just as we began a conversation, unfortunately, because my eyes were on her, I didn't see that some idiot had built a pole the perfect size to hit somebody where little boys do not want to get hit, if you know what I'm saying. And I'm running along, having this conversation finally, and bang, got hit so hard where all the men, you know, you understand the pain, right? You understand the pain. I'm not going to compare it to childbirth, okay? I'm not going to go there. But I hit myself where it hurts. I flipped over, landed on my head, and was crying. And the girl was nice to me, but there was this one punk. And if I ever saw him, I wouldn't fight him, but I'd ask Ebony to fight him. And he just started laughing at me and pointing at me, and this girl was laughing at me, and it just really hurt my feelings. And I didn't talk to another girl for like 12 years until I met my wife, Ebony. Like, not including my mum, of course. But I had a decision, obviously, right? Like, what do you do in those situations? These are the things you talk to your psychologists about, right? Like, what do? You either stay there crying in fetal position, getting laughed at, or you just get up and go again. And lucky for me, I chose the latter. Get up, go again, pretend it didn't happen, and never talk to any of them again. And that's what I did. But I actually want to talk about tonight. I have a point to this story besides humiliating myself. Because we are launching into a new series, Do the New You. I want you to say that after me. Say, Do the New You. And this is actually based off a book from Pastor Stephen Furtick. It is fantastic. The screen will come up behind me. You can buy it from Amazon. Highly recommend it. But we're going to be going through 5 mindsets over the next 5 weeks to do the new you. And today I'm talking about, I am not stuck unless I stop. I am not stuck unless I stop. And just like I had the decision that day, this is what I want to talk about today in life. We all go through seasons where we feel stuck, where we get stuck in trials, stuck in challenges, stuck in mindsets, and we always have a decision. Are we going to sit down and stay down, or just like 10-year-old Dan, after humiliating himself, am I going to get up and go again? I want to talk about this in our lives. How do we respond when we get stuck? And I want all of us right now to take a moment and think, and let's reflect on our own life. Where do you feel stuck in this season of your world? Be honest with yourself. Right now, what is holding you back? And I'm sure each of us would have at least one thing that at the minimum tends to hold us back in our life. When God calls us to move forward, He calls us forward. What's that thing that can hold us back in this season, holding us back in our potential? For some of us, it might be wrestling with anxiety and fear. For others, it might be wrestling with depression and hopelessness. Maybe what can hold you stuck in your life is relational challenges or a habit that just seems unbreakable. And no matter how hard you try, this habit has a grip around you. Maybe it's financial lack or a mindset. Sometimes it's not physical things that hold us back, but it's the way we think. Mindsets can be like chains around us holding us stuck. Mindsets like, you are not enough. I am not enough. I am not good enough. I'm not the kind of person who does this. I will never do that. I never can. Or mindsets even that God is against me and there's no way forward. And what I have experienced in my life, whatever it is for you and whatever it is for me, isn't the truth that it can just feel so impossible to get out of that situation? When we feel stuck in challenges, kind of just feels so hard to get up and keep going. And sometimes we are stuck in the same challenge, not just for weeks, not just for months, but for some of us, it can even be years. But here's the good news, friend. I want to declare over your life and my life that it is not God's will that you and I stay stuck. In fact, it is God's will that you and I break free from whatever is holding us back and we walk boldly into the future that God has for us. His word promises, come on, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You have been given the overwhelming victory, and if He is for you, who could be against you? There's nothing that could be holding you back right now that is greater than the God that is on your side. And that's good news, because we can leave this place filled with faith going, you know what? I am having a challenge. I am feeling stuck, but my God is with me and He is greater. Come on, let's give Him some praise for that. He's good. It's not gonna last forever. This too will pass. So what is it for you right now? What is it for me? What is holding us back? Because stuck is a mindset and not a reality. Think about that. When we feel stuck, it's a mindset. It's not a reality. We're not truly stuck forever. That's not God's will. And we can overcome it. We are called to overcome. And I wanted to share 3 quick thoughts around how do we live a life that is unstuck. How do we live a life where we don't get stuck in what the enemy's plan is for our life? Is anyone hungry for that tonight? My first thought here is pre-decide, pre-decide, pre-decide. When I was young, you just heard part of my story before. I was 17 years of age when I rededicated my life to the Lord. And holy moly, I was passionate and zealous for the Lord. I fell in love with Jesus. And I was so naive, but I actually loved that about that season. And my understanding at the time is, well, I've now found Jesus, so my life is now going to be perfect and easy, and I'm going to have no challenges ever again. It's going to be rainbows and Red Bull fountains and unlimited coffee and McDonald's, and I don't get fat, and like Dr. Isaac. And I just thought life was going to be amazing. But you know what I've discovered? I remember actually when I read this Bible verse, I was like, ooh, maybe that's not true. Let's look at this together. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is Jesus speaking just before he goes to the cross to his disciples. He's in a crowd. And he said, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, here it comes, you will. Everyone say will. Yes. Ooh, we will have many. Everyone say many. Oh, Pastor Dan, you're so encouraging. Thank you for coming up from Melbourne and sharing the word of the Lord with me. You will face many trials and sorrows. So we have to, if we keep that verse up, we have to face the future knowing, all right, I now have Jesus by my side, but there will be some hard times. There will be some trials. I give you homework. Try to find one person in the Bible that God used in a great way who didn't walk through challenges. And my guess is, like I tried, you probably won't find one. But here's the good news. Jesus says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So he said to us, it's not if you're going to face trials. It's not if you're going to go through hard times. It's not if we're going to go through temptation and persecution and stress and pressure. And it's when. Jesus didn't promise us an easy life, but he promised to be with us in this life. And so we can face every trial and storm knowing who is with us and who is right beside us. And this is the thought I wanted to share with you. Something I wish I had heard when I was 17 is that we can make a decision today how I'm going to respond tomorrow when I go through the trial. And ask Pastor Josh, ask Pastor Teresa. Unfortunately, probably one of the number one reasons people don't stay on fire for the Lord, people don't stay planted in the house of God, people don't fulfill the call of God on their life. And as a pastor, it breaks my heart because I've seen it time and time again. It's because when the trial comes, when the pressure comes, how we respond in it is not good. But you and I can make a decision tonight and say, all right, I know that hard times will come. That's okay. But I'm making a decision how I'm going to respond today. You can pre-decide. And young person in this room, I know we've got a lot of youth and young adults. Can I tell you, if there's one thing young people need in this day and age to follow Christ, it is resilience. We need to be resilient and make a decision as we are seeing people make tonight getting baptized, which makes me so pumped. I have decided I'm following Jesus all the days of my life. But that requires resilience. And I reflect now as an old 30-year-old man with my walking stick. Yep, I reflect on my many years. But I honestly do look back to that 17-year-old and the trials and the challenges, they have been many, but I look back and they've been the making of me. I'm thankful for them now. The Bible says actually be grateful when various trials come. Why? Because of what it produces in us. And I look back now and I go, God has always been with me. And it has been the making of me. And so we can make a decision. We can make a decision. I've found God is more interested in what he's doing in us than what is happening to us. It's always about what's happening. And there's a story that really moves my heart of a man in India. His name was Noksing. And about 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales. And as a result of this, many missionaries kind of out of that move of God went out into all around the globe, but particularly around northeast India to spread the gospel. And the region was known as a very primitive and aggressive place filled with a lot of violence and danger. It was a hostile environment. And one missionary had a breakthrough one day where they were risking their lives, telling people about Jesus in this hostile environment. and a whole family, a father, a mother, and two children accepted Christianity and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Angry, the village chief, the chief of that area found out and summoned the entire village, including this family. And he was very angry and ordered these new converts, this family, because they were so influential in the village, telling everyone about Jesus. And he said, I order you to denounce your faith in front of everyone or I will kill you. Moved by the Holy Spirit, this man said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Enraged at the refusal, and I'm sorry, this is a bit graphic, the chief ordered his archer and arrowed down his two children, and they passed away. And he asked a second time, will you now deny your faith? You've lost both your children. Will you lose your wife too? And the man replied, though no one comes with me, still I will follow. Unfortunately, he goes on to execute his wife, and he comes right up to his face again and says, now I give you one more opportunity to deny your faith in Jesus and live. And in the face of death, this man shed one last time, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. This man was executed for his faith. But the amazing good out of this horrendous situation is the village chief was so moved by this man's conviction in this trial that he actually publicly said, who is this man that believed in this thing that happened 2,000 years ago? And he yelled out in front of everyone, I too belong to Jesus Christ. And the entire village then became followers of Christ. And to this day, this story goes around the globe inspiring believers. I know that's quite an extreme example, but you and I can reflect on this and go, how will we respond in the day of trial, temptation, and challenge? See, this bold, bold, bold man had made a decision. I am following Jesus no matter what this world throws at me. I am following Jesus through every trial, challenge, every pain point, everything I ever walked to. There's no going back. I have made that decision. And my question for us to reflect on here tonight is Jesus enough in our world? Will we still follow him through trials and challenges? Not just tonight in the house of God, but in 4 months or in 4 years when we are maybe walking through a challenging season, will we still follow? And we make that decision today, friend. I love this, Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And so you and I got a people who just go, all right, I'm putting on the armor of God and I've made this decision. I will stand. No matter what comes against me, I will stand on the word of God. I will stand strong. And I believe that as you and I stand on the word, stand on the foundation of Christ, we will make it through every trial, every challenge, and every storm. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on. If you love the Lord, let's give him a hand. Pre-decide. And my final thought here is to keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. What's that Finding Nemo? Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Let's look together at Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 2. And it says this, that the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Everyone say valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So Ezekiel is in the supernatural moment and he's in the valley. And what he sees is a valley filled with bones of human remains of an army. And the truth is that this army, this group of soldiers, we don't know much about their story. But what we do know is when they got in the valley, they got stuck. They got stuck in the trial, stuck in the challenge, stuck in the time of testing. And unfortunately, they got stuck in that valley to the point that's where they ended up passing away. It led to their ultimate death, each one of them. And I picture it a bit like this, that in life, we will go through valleys. And in the valleys we walk through, it's like there's all these traps that the enemy has set in the valley for you and I. and we've got to walk through these valleys. But what happens is if you and I are in the middle of a valley and we get stuck in a trap, that's the danger zone. Because when we're stuck in the valley, man, it is hard to get out. And that's this verse, this mindset is that I'm not stuck unless I stop. And what I've found in my life is when we walk through the valleys, it's not just the trials that can get us trapped. It's not just the challenge. It can actually be the mindsets and the lies that the enemy sets for us. The enemy can sow seeds of lies and challenges for you and I that we go through. And that's where these soldiers found themselves. They gave up. They sat down and they got trapped. We don't know what was coming against them. We don't know the version of their story, but one thing we do know is they stopped. They stopped in the valley. I'm not stuck unless I stop. I remember for me and Ebony, when we moved to Melbourne, it was in 2019, and we went filled with faith and vision, and we were so excited for what God was going to do. And I know we don't like to talk about it, but obviously 2020 comes around, something called COVID happens, and we don't talk about that. But if I was honest with you, that season in 2020, I didn't realize it going in, but it became one of the deepest and darkest valleys I've ever walked through personally. And being honest with you, it was for obvious reasons, okay? Obviously, there was lockdown. Obviously, I couldn't see my family and friends. Like, there's all the obvious ones, but there was something deeper going on as well on the inside. And that season for me, I remember it so vividly that that 9-month lockdown, 9 months stuck at home, 9 months where we couldn't run church and do all the normal things in life. There were so many moments where I just got tested in ways I'd never been tested. And it got so bad for me in the middle of that trial. It ended up, for me, having things like anxiety attacks and panic attacks and just I'd never experienced such a trial as I had in that moment of my life. And I remember for me, the only thing, as I reflect, that got me through that valley, because can I tell you, friend, I was very tempted in the middle of that valley to do what those soldiers did, just to sit down, to give up and go, I'm done. This is too hard. This is too much. I can't face the pressure I'm feeling externally, internally. But I thank God that I did one thing that I believe got me through that valley, and that was that I clung to Jesus. Every day, to the best of my ability, I wasn't perfect, but whether I'd had an anxiety attack the night before or not, I got up and I read the Bible and I sought the Lord in prayer. And some days I could only do 5 minutes. That's all I could find myself to do. Other days, 30 minutes. Other days I missed it. But you know what? I just made that decision. You know what? I'm in the middle of this valley and I've never faced such darkness personally, but I'm going to just keep walking through this valley. I'm going to wake up this next day. I'm going to open the Bible and cry out to God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to do everything I can just to keep taking that one step ahead of the other. And do you know what? The truth is, I look back now and I found I went through that valley. That valley, even though it might have been designed to kill me, it didn't. I got through. And you can get through whatever you're facing right now, but we've got to make that decision. I'm going to keep walking. That's what the soldier's mistake was. King David says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through, everyone say through. See, there's a difference in these two stories. They both have valleys. They both represent trials and heartache and challenge. But King David said, guys, I walk through. I walk through the darkest valley. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Through. We got to keep walking through the valleys in life. We only get stuck if we stop. But if we don't stop, we don't get stuck. And this is what I love, is that Jesus was the ultimate example of this. Jesus didn't go around the cross. Jesus didn't run from death. What did Jesus do? He went through the cross. He went through death and through hell and rose again. And so sometimes for you and I, the only way out is through. We've got to keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. And I'd love to invite the band up as I come to a close. Because I know in this place, I'm sure many people here are going through a trial. I started this sermon asking, where do you feel stuck? We all have something. And we all might be, right now, you might be in a season where you're not walking through the valley. You're not in the dark, and that's awesome. That's so good. But I believe there will be people here right now. And you're like, Dan, I'm resonating with what you're sharing. I'm in a valley. I'm walking through. And this is what I've learned in my life is we have two choices in the valley. We didn't give it, do what those soldiers did, and as tempting as it is, and we can just sit down in the valley and say, you know what? I give up. It's just too much. I can't keep praying. I just can't keep reading the Bible. I just can't keep coming to church. The pressure's just too much. I feel so tempted to, and we have a posture in our heart just to sit down. And this is what I've discovered is it's not a blatant, obvious, oh, I'm giving up on this. It's actually a passiveness. And we just begin to give up on the inside. Or we can have the posture going, you know what? We don't pretend it's not there. Man, this season's tough. That was me in that season. But we have that posture of no matter what I'm going through right now, just as David said, I'm going to keep walking. And I know if I just keep walking, if I just keep clinging onto Jesus, I will get through this valley. Remember what Jesus said, take heart for I have overcome the world. I just feel the presence of God ministering to people now. Let me just share one last verse, then we're going to pray. If you feel stuck right now, let me read Psalm 91 over you. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence. Whatever trap the enemy has set for you, and maybe there are people in this room, I feel God on it, you feel stuck. You're like, Dan, I wish I heard the sermon 1 year ago, 2 years ago. And if you're honest, you're going, I feel stuck. Well, this is the good news, friend, is the Bible doesn't say we have to untrap ourselves. It says he, the Lord, will deliver us from the snare. He will set us free. If you're feeling stuck today, I believe something's going to shift over your life in the name of Jesus. And you're going to leave this place with a new sense of freedom and liberty. And this is the good news. It's not based on you or what you do. It's based on the Lord. It's on Jesus Christ. He sets us free. He sets us free. And so as I close this sermon, let's make a decision. I'm going to keep walking. I'm not going to stop following Christ. I am going to not give up. I'm going to keep committing to the things I know I need to do. I'm going to be on my knees in prayer this morning. I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to be in the house of God. I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. Can we all stand to our feet here tonight? Might you just close your eyes for a moment. Just reach out to the Lord in your heart. He's ministering to hearts. I know in that season of challenge, sometimes I didn't even have words to say. I would just cry in the presence of God. I'd just cry out for God to deliver me and set me free. Maybe that's you. Why don't you just begin to cry out in your heart? Say, Lord, I need you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You know exactly where every person in this room is. And I pray you would meet us exactly where we are. All right, here's what we're going to do. Come on, I feel that things are about to shift powerfully. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the band. They're going to lead us very strong in worship. The kind of worship that breaks chains. Come on, the kind of worship where the enemy flees from this building and says, I got to get out of here because we glorify Jesus. And what we're going to do is if you are in the middle of a trial, if you're feeling stuck, if you just need God to come through for you in whatever sphere. I want you to come down the altar. I want you to reach out both your hands to God, and we're going to worship. And our ministry prayer team are going to lay hands on you, and you will be set free. So right now, if that's you, if you're saying, Dan, and ministry team, you can come out. But you're saying, Dan, I'm in a trial. Dan, I need breakthrough. Dan, I need God to come through for me. Dan, I'm in the middle of a valley, and I need the Lord to move in my life. Can you just begin to come down and receive prayer? Begin to walk down the aisles. Be bold. Be strong. Come on. And let's all worship. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, come out. Come out. Come out. Don't be afraid. Share the herre, get here, mama, to the herre, get